Okay, so yesterday we started discussing halachic issues that are affected by hashkafa. Where you have machlokes and halacha that's affected by hashkafa. So yesterday we went through a lot of things related to Medinas Yisrael, that your hashkafa of Medinas Yisrael may affect a number of halachos. Today we're going to move from the Medina to a very similar issue of Yerushalayim, meaning Yerushalayim itself, whether how we view the current status of the city of Yerushalayim. Meaning you look around Yerushalayim and there's building and there's Torah and there's yeshivas and there's all sorts of really great things going on in Yerushalayim, but you know, at its focal point, you know, in the center, right over that wall, you don't see binyan, you see churban. So what exactly is our attitude toward Yerushalayim? And that may have an effect on two different halachos. One halacha that they discuss is whether one tears kriya on Yerushalayim, because the halacha really is supposed to be that when one sees Yerushalayim bichorbana, you tear kriya. So is the Yerushalayim that we see, Yerushalayim b'chorbana, mikdash b'chorbana, that we definitely still have. And that's why we tear kriya when we go toward the Makom HaMikdash. If you see the dome and you see the floor of the Har Bayis and you see that there's no Beis HaMikdash there, so that's mikdash b'chorbana, that we tear kriya. But what about Yerushalayim b'chorbana, when you're walking through the streets of the old city? Is that worthy of tearing kriya? Or do we say, no, this is far from churban. This is in fact binyan. The other issue that this relates to is whether we should recite the bracha of Nachem on Tisha B'Av Bizman Hazeh, because the bracha of Nachem makes it very, very clear that Yerushalayim is absolutely desolate and destroyed and doesn't have anyone there, and v'chule v'chule. So can you say such a tefillah? So let's start with the Nachem issue. So this actually predates Hakamas HaMedina. It predates 1967 for sure, and that is in the Sefer Baruch Sha'amar. He already raises, who's the Baruch Sha'amar? Vitar Tamima. So he already raises the issue on Nachem, on the words. Baruch Shamar has commentary called Baruch Shamar on Pirkei Avos. He has commentary Baruch Shamar on the Siddur. So on the Siddur, it says on the phrase in Nachem, "Vesheir ha'avela v'achareva v'ashamema," the city that is in mourning and destroyed and desolate. He says, "Yadua da torim ha'ela musabim al Yerushalayim." This is supposed to be a description of Yerushalayim. V'yesh laheir ki achrei shebzman hazeh Yerushalayim benuya berama im batechemed ve'chalei pe'er v'gam yushevis miyehudei ba'amon. There are so many Jews there, and there are buildings there. It doesn't make sense that we have descriptions of Avelos on Yerushalayim. Now, if you could imagine what Yerushalayim looked like in the first part of the 20th century, there are pictures of it, right? You can see it was not like, you know, this magnificent modern city like it is today. And yet he's still bothered by the Kasha. Yerushalayim looked too good. You know, in Rabbi Tzvi Ram's shul in the Bialystok shul in the Lower East Side, there's a mural on the wall of the Kotel. Now the Bialystok shul has been the building is like 150 years old and maybe even more, and it's been a shul for over 100 years. And I think it was originally built as something else, but it's been a shul for over 100 years. So they have a mural on the wall of the Kotel, but it doesn't look anything like the Kotel that as we know it, because there's like 1 foot in front of the Kotel. That's it. And because that's what it was at the time that they made that mural that they painted. This is what the Torah Tamima was thinking of when he was asking this Kasha. And he says, but Kolzman, he says, but no, we still say Nachem. Why? Because Kolzman Shem Tachas Memshalas Acheres Lo Tachas Malchus Yisrael Adai Nikru Charev. Because it's still called destroyed since there's no Jewish government in the early part of the 20th century. That all these halachos of Teren Kriya and all of the and the recitation of the Brach of Nachim would still apply in Yerushalayim Bizman Azeb, says the Torah to me, because there is no Jewish government. Similarly, the Megillas Esther and Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam writes that from the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, even those who live in Eretz Yisrael are not called Yoshvei HaAretz because they're Avadim L'Malkei HaAmim. just like we are in Chutz La'aretz. That's what the Megillas Esther says. So you can say that it's empty miyoshveha, because miyoshveha means people who are living under our own control, under Jewish control. If we're not living under Jewish control, then it still makes sense to say such a thing. So then the kasha becomes shifted nowadays. Nowadays, does it still make any sense to say Nachem? We are under Jewish control. We have a Jewish government. So what's the... And you might say, well, come on, Chazal Musak in the bracha, so you got to say the bracha. I mean, you can't not say the bracha. But we do find that in tefillos, we're very careful not to say a dvar sheker. We don't say lies in tefillah. And if something is sheker, we make adjustments accordingly. Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Siman Tavkov Samachay Sif Gimel, Yesh Omrim She'in Hayachid Omer Anenu Ki'im B'mincha. On a Tainas Tzibur, we say Anenu. Now, the Shliach Tzibur says Anenu even at Shachris. But the Yachid only says Anenu at Mincha. Why? Why would the Yachid only say Anenu at Mincha? What was the reason? In case you have to eat. And then it will turn out that you lied. That you said it's Yom Tzom time to say that it's your fast day. It's not your fast day. It turns out by Mincha, if you made it that long, we assume you'll make it the rest of the way. But at Shachris, you don't have that confidence. Shem Yochs Lebulmos. Maybe you'll be seized by some. You'll be famished, and you'll have to eat. It'll turn out that you're a shakran. Why then can the Shliach Tzibur say, why are we so confident that he's going to make it? Yeah, the Tzibur is going to make it. Meaning, he may or may not make it, but the Tzibur is going to make it. He's representing the Tzibur. So, on a whole, the Tzibur is going to be fasting. Also, the Magen Avraham and Siman Tavresh Chav Gimel Sivkat Nalef writes, as far as Tefillas Ni'ilah and Yom HaKippurim, Mechaber says you have to say it Somuch L'Shkia Sachama. Says Magen Avraham, Hainu Sof Shkia, which is Seisach Chavim, but he says, Achzorach Lizor L'Haschil, Bo'ura Yom Gadol. He says you have to start Ni'ila Ba'ura Yom Gadol. V'gam Yomer Chorez Ba'yom Yifne. You have to say the passage where you're saying that the day is about to leave us when it's still Yom. Why? Because otherwise Din Lokein Dover Shkarim L'fnei Hashem. You're speaking falsehood in front of Hashem. So we do see that we make adjustments because of Dover Shkarim. We're afraid to say things that are a lie. So how is it, or should it be, that we still say Nachem? Or how is it that we can still say Nachem if it's a lie? Is Yerushalayim b'churbana, or is it not b'churbana? So there are a few different approaches. I have this in my second sefer, all these different approaches. One is, Rav Salvechik is quoted in the Masorah Journal, that he said, we absolutely, absolutely cannot changed tefillos that were niskan al yidei Chazal, and Rav Vadi Yosef similarly in Yichav Das Chelik Aleph Siman Mem Gimel says that we don't understand when we're dealing with tefillos of Chazal. It's not only what the words sound like they mean. There's much more depth than we can possibly understand. He said, "Mi hu ze ve'eze hu bedoros elu sheyochel lahariv oz l'sakin l'shanos minuscha tefillah sheniskan al yidei Rabbi Seinu Hakadoshim." Who could have the audacity to think that we could change the nusach of the tefillah? The reason he says is because Rav Goren changed the nusach of the tefillah. Right? Rav Goren wrote a whole new nusach where he to reflect the realities of the day. Asher ruach Hashem diber bam u'melasa al-shonam u'b'chol teva v'teva b'chol os v'os shetiknu b'matpeh ha-brachs v'atfilos genuzim b'hen sodos niskavim u'mufla'im v'divrei kachim yusadim alad nepaz b'rozini lo'im tamirin. Says Rav Vadi Yosef, we don't understand the sodos in every single word of a tefillah. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Chav Chesam Beis tells us that Rav Gamliel Azakin said to the Chachamim, "Klum yesh bechem adam sheyodeh l'sakin birch saminim." Do we have anyone who can be masakin a brach in Shmon Esrei for the birchas haminim? And what happened? Amad Shmuel Akatan v'tikna. Only Shmuel Akatan was qualified. Says Rav Vadi Yosef, really? All the Chachamim got together, and only Shmuel HaKatan knew Hebrew. No one else was able to formulate a paragraph in Hebrew. My daughter in fifth grade can formulate a paragraph in Hebrew, right? Well, what does that mean? No one else was able to write a paragraph. No, but the point is that when they were masakin tefilos, shaliyos the kol os va'os minusach habrachos sod. Every os is a sod. There's something much much bigger there. And zivug midos halyonos. I don't know what any of this means. So you need a chacham gadol shuruach hakadosh shorah alav lechavin advarim lefi sodan. You need someone who understands the full depth. That's what Rav Avadia Yosef writes. That's one reason why perhaps we should still say nachim, because it's true. The simple pshat may not be correct, but the depth of it is still correct. A second mahalich, if you don't like that one, because that one's a little tough to take, because it could be that all those sodos are still correct and true, but still on the pshat level, you're not allowed to be dover shkar, right? You're still not allowed to say something that's a lie. So Rav Soloveitchik got a different approach, and this quote in Nefesh HaRav on page Ayin Zayin through Ayin Tes, and you know, this approach actually was mentioned by our Rav Soloveitchik here on Yom Ha'atzmaut a couple of years ago. You know, Rav Soloveitchik gives that shiur on Yom Ha'atzmaut during the breakfast or lunch, whatever it is. It used to be Fleishig. They downgraded to Parv this year. Anyway, so Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Eliyahu Soloveitchik, said this over from his uncle, that that in the first parak of Maseches Kelim, the Mishnah tells us Eser Kedushas, that Eretz Yisrael has 10 levels of Kedusha. Eretz Yisrael is Kadosh from all the other lands, and you go up the, so and the Mishnah lists what marks off each level of Kedusha. I mean, what makes the Kodesh HaKadosh more Kadosh than the Azara? What makes the Mikdash more Kadosh than Arabayis? What makes Arabayis more Kadosh than Yerushalayim? Right? What marks off each level of Kedusha? So what makes Eretz Yisrael, what sets Eretz Yisrael apart from everything else? So would you have said? Shalachos apply to Eretz Yisrael, don't apply everywhere else. All the mitzvahs of these parts, like Shemitah, Yovel, Shumos, Meisvos. What does the Mishnah say? Mishnah says, "Ein mevi'in mimena, a shemevi'in mimena, omer shtei alechem." That in Eretz Yisrael, you can only grain from Eretz Yisrael is kosher to use for carbon omer and shtei alechem. Of all the things, you know, that's like an obscure halacha. That happens to be the grain that grows in Chutz Lars can't be used for these karbanos. That's a little bit strange. Why we would use that as the instead of trumos, maishos, chala, shmita, yovel, leket, shikcha, peya, all the mitzvot liyusbaritz, and that's what we pick. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that these different madrigals of kedusha, these eser kedushos, are not just about different levels of kedusha. They're about kedushas hamigdash. That meaning Yerushalayim has Kedusha in terms of Yerushalayim, but it also has Kedusha as an extension of Kedusha Samikdash. Eretz Yisrael has its own Kedusha, it's true, but it also has a second layer of Kedusha, which is an extension of Kedusha Samikdash. Kedusha Samikdash is most intense, Mibein Shnei Akruvim, right there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then it sort of it weakens as you go further and further out, but it's still there. So Kedushas HaMikdash is what's being expressed by these Mishnayos. So says Rav Soloveitchik, the fact that there is Chumas and Maisos and Shemitah and Yovel, that's Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. What the Mishnah is trying to highlight is Kedushas HaMikdash. So how does it highlight Kedushas HaMikdash? You want to bring a Korban? You want to bring Shtei Alechem? You want to bring Korban Omer? It can only be from Eretz Yisrael, the grains. Because that's a reflection of Kedushas HaMikdash within Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the Ir HaAtika, the old city of Yerushalayim, even if it is under Jewish government, and it's being built, and there are yeshivas, and there's all great things, nevertheless, says Rav Soloveitchik, you would still tear kriya on it, and you would still say nachem, as if it's destroyed, because the destruction is a destruction of the Kedushas Mikdash of Yerushalayim, and that for sure is not there. The Kedushas Mikdash of Yerushalayim is for sure no longer there. It's only the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael of Yerushalayim that's still there. So that's a second mahalich as to why one might say Nachim Bizman Hazeh. A third mahalich, Rav Avadia Yosef points out, is that Ki Makom HaMikdash Sivosev Nesunim Biyad Zarim Sone Yisrael Yerushalayim HaTika Odenim Leim Gluim Shalakum. That there's still churches and mosques in the old city of Yerushalayim. There's still danger. There's still spiritual shortcomings. And he says, how many old shuls were there in the era Tika that are still destroyed? And so and Rav Avadia writes, we're happy and we sing and we dance on the fact that we were able to return to the Kosel Maravi, But remember, the Kosel Maravi is still a zecher l'churban. It's still reminiscent of the fact that the other side of the wall doesn't have what we want on the other side of the wall. And then there's Rav Sternbach and Moadim Uzmanim Simshin Mem Ches and Ha'arabeis also says Bavanosenu Harabim Rabba Hamuhumo Upirsimu Ke'elu Ayom Yerushalayim Kvar Eina Chareva Ovi. He said that there are people who say that it's no longer destroyed. Umashmitim Minusach Tenachim Ira Chareva Bezuya. And they leave out from the Nusach of Nachim how he described the destruction. Ukilu Bebinyan Arim Kikol Ir Sheba Olam Skayim Binyan Yerushalayim Bishar Shashchina Bavanosenu. He says people act as if building up a city like you would build, you know, Paris, or like you would build New York, or like you would build Chicago, is considered to be the building of Yerushalayim. And that's tragic that people think that way. Valkein kedai lahaskir kishakorea shemitzdar nami al churban ir hakodesh. He says you have to recognize that it's Bishval HaMadrega, that it's at this very low spiritual level, and this is not what we call Yerushalayim B'Binyana, meaning essentially, again, the idea that Yerushalayim is destroyed is very much Chai V'Kayim, says Rav Sternbach, because it is destroyed on a spiritual level.
Seemingly that we're saying that it's a problem to change brachos that the Rabbah were talking, wouldn't it also be problematic to be adding Mishaberas and Tfilos into our davening?
So that's also a question, right? Are you allowed to do that? So the truth is, though, that historically we have. Meaning, Tosiantus Mishaberach for those who don't talk B'Shas HaTfilah. So why is that more of a Sorech than saying Mishaberach for Medina or Mishaberach for the country that you live in or anything else?
The same way the Gemara said that the only one who can be attacking.
That was adding a bracha into Shemona Esrei. Yeah, so I mean, but that is, I think Rav Soloveitchik felt that way, that we're not allowed to, that Rav Soloveitchik didn't say the tefillah of the Shalom Medina. I think he held that was a problem to make new tefillahs. But the counter argument is we do it all the time. So it's a tough sell. And Teren Kriya also, you know, when it comes to Teren Kriya over Yerushalayim, it's a big discussion whether you're supposed to tear Kriya over Yerushalayim. Rav Shechter writes in Be'ikve Atzon, in Simin Yud Ches, he says, Shemati b'zeh mikvod mori v'rabi argrit sal v'etchik zal, that Shechova ha'kriya over Yerushalayim hi betoros avelus al migdash b'chobana, that we tear Kriya over Yerushalayim because it's still migdash b'chobana. Even though Rav Shechter points out that it's a big machlokas gedolim bismanazet, that some hold Yerushalayim was the ikar ir hamalucha, and the chi of kriya is betoros avelus on losing malchus Yisrael, and after melchemet sheshet hayamim, which is under Jewish jurisdiction, there's no longer anything to tear kriya on. Rav Shechter points out in a footnote that which some are mefakpeik, that you need dafka shilton Yisrael hamisnaig al pi haTorah, that it's not good enough to have a Jewish government. You need a Jewish government that's acting al pi haTorah. Saruchim gadol. When did we ever have that? You know, a lot of times, I mean, we had it sometimes, but during Bayis Rishon, most of the kings were of the Avodah Zarah, and they certainly had a din of a Malchus Yisrael. And he says, therefore, those who are Noagim Limnos Biksubos Obazmanos Lechasen Chadoma Leminyan Hashanim Shemitchilas Hakamas Hamedina Sheish LaMahaskal Hashanah Chadasha Mirosh Chodesh Nisan V'lo Meheiir K'Tekaimilan Reish Mesachs Rashan Rashan Malchus Yisrael Bechem Nisan. Unbelievable. Shabbat said, if you're going to write in your Ksuba how many years it's been since Hakamas Hamedina, which, by the way, in the Dati Lumi community in Israel is not uncommon that in a wedding invitation, in a ksuba even, they'll write. In fact, Rabbi Shai Shechter told me, his nephew got married, Rabbi Shechter's first grandson, I think it was a grandson, that got married in Israel. And he said, the ksuba had all these things in it. Rabbi Shechter wasn't the Masari Gedushin, he wasn't the one running the show, but they had all these things in it. So Rabbi Shechter said, yep, but don't start counting from Heir, because there's a halacha of when you count for a Malchus Yisrael. So if you really hold it to Malchus Yisrael, you have to count Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is how you count the years of a Malchus Yisrael. Rosh Hashanah does also write that the minhag seems to be that people no longer tear Kriya on Yerushalayim. Rav Moshe in the Tshuva in Igros Moshe, Dalid or Chaim Dalid Simon Ayin Osir Aleph says that since Arabs no longer rule over it, we don't tear Kriya on Yerushalayim. Rav Shlomo Zalman, though, thought that since it's an international city and the Jewish government doesn't really have full power to do as we please in Yerushalayim, so it's still considered to be B'churbana, and therefore you should tear Kriya even on Yerushalayim. Okay, that was all as far as Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, you know, that was all the Zionism part. Let's move on to another hot-button hashkafic issue, which may lead to machlokas in halacha. Yeah. Right.
I mean, if you first enter
not versus, and also.
So if
you're Mosif on the Kera, the Shulchan says, when you get to the Kofa. Now, next issue is secular knowledge, secular wisdom. How do you view people who have secular knowledge? Is that a good thing, a bad thing? Is it bittul Torah? Is it, right? Meaning, do you believe that that's valuable to a full religious personality, or that it's just a total waste of time, and that if you really wanted to know things that are valuable, you study Torah all day, and you'll get everything that's valuable from the Torah HaKadosha? You don't need any other knowledge, and not only don't you need it, it could be destructive, right? So this is something that's an interesting, long-standing debate amongst Gedolei Olam. So and might have nafkaminas la'alacha. So they say, of course, there's nafkaminas la'alacha. Are you allowed to go to college? Are you allowed to be here? Right? So no, you know, even here for sure, and even in YU, you know, like more than 50% of the places in Sci Sims now. You know, like everyone's going for Parnassa. It's not really about secular knowledge. Everyone always held you're allowed to learn a trade, right? That and you're mechuyev to learn a trade because you have to support your family. So that's not really much, you know, to be debated. What about the liberal arts education? That's okay. So that's one nafkamina. Is can you pursue a liberal arts degree? Right? But there may be more halachic nafkaminas other than the direct nafkamina of can you do it or can't you do it? Meaning it's a shkafic issue, but there may be more to it than that. What would happen if you were to meet a person who is a brilliant secular scholar? So what's the halacha? You meet a Nobel Prize winner, you meet someone like, so what's the halacha? There's a bracha you say to such a person, right? You meet a non-Jew who is a chacham mechachmim sa'olam. The bracha is, and then the bracha? Nasan mechachmasal basar dab. You meet Chaim Kanievsky, what's the bracha?
Chalak mechachmasal
li'reya. Different brachas. What if you meet Albert Einstein was Jewish? Yeah. What if you meet Albert Einstein?
Combination of the
two, neither, right? Is it one, the other, or neither? So what are the possibilities? I mean, those are the possibilities. Why yes, why no? Why would this depend on Ashkafa? So if you hold that, he's impressive, right? Meaning a guy who knows so much secular knowledge, it's impressive. He's, you know, that's what he's supposed to be studying. He's not allowed to learn Torah. Marasha kilis Yaakov, I'll take a Marasha alama orasa. Okay, he's not allowed to learn Torah. So good, so he's involved in intellectual pursuits, and he's, great, so I'll say a bracha on him. But what about a Jew who spent so much time in these other intellectual pursuits? So it could be that he's curing cancer. It could be that he's a Nobel Prize winning economist like Professor Auman, right? So do you say a bracha on such a person? So in the Tshuvas Mishnah Halachos, Chelek Tes Vav, Simen Ayin Dal, Rav Menashe Klein writes, Umeata lo mi bayu ledas ha-shach v'agro di mayu dochi kaimelon, that also limo b'shach v'achos klav. You don't even tell me, according to those shitos, that it's absolutely forbidden to learn any other chachmos. I feel if you have an asra ma, but even according to the Ramah, it's a little more liberal on this. The Ramah says you're only allowed to learn this stuff after you already know Shasu Poskim. And once you know Kol HaTorah Kula, so you could dabble a little bit in Shar Chachmas. That you're going to call someone who neglected Torah study in order to learn other things a chacham, Yishtaka adavar, lo mineva lo miktsase. Can't accept it. Impossible. Vomer ani, says Rav Menashe Klein, adaraba, hareu rasha, sha'avar al shalolam haTorah. That's a hashkafa, right? Meaning, it's coming directly from the fact that he holds that if you're learning secular studies, you are objectively doing an aveira. I'm going to say a bracha on someone who spent years doing an aveira? And this guy was lo lamad and v'lo yodeya, and he's over b'shot nefesh shechayev lo matara kol yimei chayev. And he says, and if you're going to tell me that you have to say a bracha on Yisrael that's a gadol b'chachmas ha'olam, what bracha would you even say? Shechalak shenasan. Yisrael doesn't have Chachmas the Torah, only Chachmas HaGoyim, even all seven Chachmas, there's no bracha. Yahafuch Hashem is HaBracha L'Klala V'day She'in Mekalelin also Al Shehichlif Chachmas Limud HaTorah V'Chachmas HaGoyim. You should be happy we're not cursing him every time we see him. Well, it's Mahalik, okay. What's the counterpoint? The counterpoint might be, first of all, it's very valuable to have Jewish people, Yireim Mishleimim, who are involved in Shar Chachmos, particularly the Chacham of medicine, I would say. It's very, very valuable that to have people in the sciences. And to use such an expression, Daishe Mekalan, so it seems a little extreme. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mezakeh this person with such Chachma, and the world is nene from this Chachma, it benefits the world. So, especially when you consider the fact that some of these people, like Professor Aumann, is a frum person, is Lomi Torah, is that, you know, so what? It would have been better if he would have been an accountant? I mean, nothing wrong with accounting. Like, it would have been better if he would have, but because he became this great, great Chacham, so now I disrespect him? Like, if he would have been a sanitation worker, then we'd say, honest living. You know, Nene Miyagiyas Kapav. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. But no, instead he pursued this intellectual pursuit. So now we're going to say he's a Rasha for that. A little bit tough to take. That's a little bit hard to understand. And also, Rav Menashe Klein says, and anyway, you wouldn't make a bracha on someone unless he knows all Sheva Chachmos. So if he only knows five of the Sheva Chachmos, you wouldn't say a bracha on him. Now, I don't know where that's from. He brings a raya from Beis Yosef that says that it's muchach from a smag, that if they're not chacham b'chachmos ha'olam, and they're only chacham b'dosam, ein mevarchem aleihem, that if they're only religious scholars, they're theologians, but they're not chachmos, they're not chacham b'nol chachmos, and you want to say a bracha them. What's that got to do with being a chacham b'nol sheva chachmos? You know, over there he's talking about people who are experts in minas and api courses. Yeah, so that I wouldn't say a bracha on. You know, if a person says, I'm the top scholar in comparative religion in an Ivy League university, okay, good, so I'm not going to say a bracha on that. But that doesn't mean that he has to be a chacham in all chachmos. Aside from the fact that the reason a person has to have a mastery of Kol HaTorah Kula is because Divrei Torah are Aniyim b'makom echad and Ashirim b'makom acher. I don't think a person's lack of knowledge of literature affects his knowledge of science, or vice versa. Meaning the disciplines are very often independent. He may not do well in Jeopardy, but like, you know, the disciplines are independent disciplines of each other. So I don't know why you would have to be a chacham in all of the chachmos. Rav Shechter called his third sefer Ginas Egos, not only because it starts with a gimel and he's trying to go in order of the aleph is, but because he writes in the Hakdama that he says Shema sefer karasi Ginas Egos al pi divrei medrash. The medrash in Shir Shirim says Ma ego ze atanot alechad minakri v'kulam yordin v'miskalgulin ze achar ze. Just like in egos, if you have a pile of egos and you pull one down and the whole thing comes piling down, comes rolling down, he says, kach divrei Torah, that's the way divrei Torah works as well, the Medrash tells us, that you move one piece of Torah and then it affects every other sugya, that they're all interconnected, they're all intertwined. And that's why we've discussed many times, in order to be a posek, a person has to have knowledge of Kol HaTorah Kula, or at least some knowledge of Kol HaTorah Kula, in order to see the bigger picture. I don't know that it works that way when it comes to Shar Chachmos. So again, this might be an issue of this. Quite obviously to me is an issue of hashkafa. Now it's interesting, I mentioned this in my shul, and Rav Menashe Klein's great nephew davens in my shul, so he came over to me, Chaim Frankel. You know Chaim Frankel? Yeah. So he's Rav Menashe Klein's grand nephew. So he said that he knows that his grandmother always told him that when Rav Menashe Klein would see his best friend in the whole world. Who is Rav Menashe Klein's best friend in the whole world? Elie Wiesel. They went through Buchenwald together. So that creates relationships when you go through Gehenna with someone. So, Rav Menashe Klein's yeshivas were paid for, Elie Wiesel was like the main donor. So Elie Wiesel is a great scholar, he's a Pulitzer Prize winning author. So he said his grandmother always told him that whenever Rav Menashe Klein saw Elie Wiesel, he said a bracha. So I said, wait a second, that's a steer over here. Then I realized I'm an idiot. He wasn't saying this bracha. He was saying Shachianu. Meaning when you have someone that you love, a really good friend, but you haven't seen him in 30 days, there's another halacha that you say a bracha of Shachianu. If you haven't seen him in 12 months, you say a Mechaya Mason. He wasn't saying Shinasa Mechach Maso. There's no way, right? He passed and said, you don't say Shinasa Mechach Maso on a Jewish person who's excelled in other pursuits, right? In literature. No? Mustafer? Yeah? That was,
Back to the Albert Einstein question. Meaning, if you were to hold that it is a milah to actually learn Shar Chachmos, then you actually felt that way, wouldn't it be obvious that you make the bracha of Shechol Chachmos of Lirea? Meaning, because you're understanding that.
Not so pasha. Because Shechalak, there's a discussion, you got to get Hakon Olam HaChelik Beis. There's a discussion about that bracha of why it is that there's a different nusach. What's the difference between Shechalak and Shenasan? Is it a difference in the person, or is it a difference in the Chachma? Meaning that Chachma HaTorah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chalak Me'atmo, it's like a piece of himself. Whereas, Shar Chachmos is something that is Nasan, that he's only Nosei, but it's not Chalak. Or it could be that, no, it's a Jewish neshama. Jewish neshama is the chalak. So,
is there any real hashkafa that thinks that even the Shar Chachmos is considered part of Hashem's, whatever Hashem, I don't know, like equal to that of the Torah? Meaning
equal to that of the Torah? I don't think
so. Is there, no one says that.
It's an equal to Torah? I don't think so. It's a handmade into the Torah, right? It helps you understand the Torah. Certainly a person who doesn't know geometry is going to have difficulty with Erev. A person, and Sukkah, there are things that you need to know in order to make sense of it. But, I don't think anyone would say it's equal to the Torah when you just study it as it. Another issue relating to secular society, not necessarily secular chachma, but secular society that I think affects halacha as well, is what is the best way to react to feminism? Feminism is not a Jewish value, right? Feminism is a secular value. Judaism is not for feminism or against feminism. We're not gori. We just don't have. We're not gori. It's not a thing. It's not something It's not. You're not going to find it in any Musar Sefer or any. It's just not. Women are women, men are men. We all have to be Ovid Hashem, and we follow the Torah and being Ovid Hashem. It's just not a category in halacha. So, however, if taken to a certain degree, it can certainly pose a threat to the world of halacha, because if your brand of feminism says that women should do everything the same way that men do, well, then you're going to have women putting on tefillin, which is against the halacha. You're going to have women making brachas and mitzvah shazman gram, even if you're Spartan. right? You're gonna do everything the same. You're gonna do you can count women toward a minyan. You're gonna, which is against the halacha. You'll do everything. Everything will be egalitarian if that's your brand of feminism. So how do we react to that? Do we say, well, this is aside from the hashkafic issues of, you know, then what about Judaism's role for a woman? And is that now going to be ignored because we're so, people are so insistent that women should be exactly like men, meaning that the woman's role as mother will be significantly diminished? You know, things of that nature. So there are two mahalchim that people have had, that Gedolei HaPoskim have had, in terms of how to deal with this. One mahalch is lo minei v'lo mitzase. We need to go as far away from feminism as possible, and therefore anything that has a shmek of feminism, we have to run in the other direction. Right? Another mahalch might be, let's incorporate whatever's useful and is not against the halacha. So we can sort of satisfy a little bit the secular society that is influencing people. So, you know, whatever works with halacha will bend on, but whatever's against halacha we won't. And then the third mahalach is ignore the whole thing. It shouldn't affect our decision making at all. Just, it's not a Jewish thing. So two particular examples. When women eat together, should they bench bezimut? Right. So, right. So, it's clear in halacha what they should do. What do I mean by clear? Shulchan Aruch paskins in Or Chaim Sim Kuf Tzadi Tesiv Vav. Nashim mezamnos liatzman reshus, but when they eat together with anashim, then they're chayiv, which is interesting. Meaning, they're chayiv in the sense that they have to participate. A lot of times, a woman will leave the table when the men are benching because, you know, it's the men's thing, the zimun. That's not true. If a woman's eating at a table, and that's for sure. If a woman's eating at a table and there are men that are doing the zimun, the woman has to be part of that zimun. But what about when she's eating alone? So Shulchan Aruch says, reshus, right? It's interesting. The Gra says that we paskin like the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonah, that Nashim Mezamnos Atzman Chova. The Gra writes, not Rishus. That when women eat together, it's an absolute chiyuv. Now, take any other area of halacha in the entire world, where there are only two opinions. There's an opinion that it's a chiyuv, and an opinion that it's a Rishus. And there is no opinion in Rishonim or in the Gemara or anywhere that what? That it's aser. In any other area of halacha, would an Orthodox rabbi say aser? Can't. Would an Orthodox rabbi discourage it? Can't. Adrabba, what do we always say? Amachmir tov olav bracha. Be yotze kol adeos. According to the Rush, the Gra paskins this way. Chayiv. So according to the Gra, they're chayavos. Ben Ishchai writes, Roy lekaladim lelamid l'neshe beso shiu mezamnos liatzman kishachas b'shlosha. I don't know, what's the minhag in seminaries? Right? And girls, I know you've never been, right? So, I don't know. If I walk into Toddy's today, I guess, like on a weekday, right? And I don't know for those who are familiar with five times. But if you go into Toddy's, it's only women, right? So you get And you know, there's the group of whatever, you know, women from Lawrence eating their scooped out bagels or something, I don't know, whatever. Right? So if I listen closely at the end of their meal, right? I don't listen to Lashon Hara. I just listen at the end of the meal. When they bench, are they going to do a zimun? Probably not. So what happened? So. Says Rav Sturmbach, Shuvasan Hagos Chel Gal Simon and Aleph, he says, L'niyas Taiti Yesh Lachush Bazeh Mikam Apanim. He says, I got a lot of problems with women doing Zima. Chada Shema Iko Bazeh Shash Yuhara. It's Yuhara. Va'od Degimel Nikar Rabim Mimkein Ula Yesh Bazeh Lo Siskodudu. Kishem Ktsas Nogin Lahachmir Negin Minagir. It's a violation of Lo Siskodudu. Because Bircha Zimun has a din of a bracha, so it's a chashash bracha levatala. Essentially, he's you know, making stuff up. Meaning, what's his concern? He's concerned about feminism. He's concerned that women are going to start doing men things. Right? So that's what yuhara means. When he says the word yuhara, he doesn't mean that a woman is going to, you know, hold herself more religious than someone else over here. So l'chora, that is a clear outgrowth of a hashkafa. It's a mahalich. It's an approach. So another approach might be that, oh, we absolutely insist, even though Shulchan Aruch says Rishus, we hold chova, because bizman hazeh, a woman has to do everything she could possibly do. Another mahalich might be, do what the halacha says. You know, ignore feminism. Do what the halacha says. So the halacha is a Rishus, so if guys feel like doing it, if women feel like doing it, wonderful. And you want to be Yotzei Shita Sagra? Great. You know, that's another one. Women benching Gomel. Right? Is there any reason why a woman should not bench Gomel? So benching Gomel is done typically in front of a minion. So is that a chisaron of tznius? Is that a, relating to like the different hashkafos, whether a woman, you go to a Beis Yaakov dinner, right? So they're honoring the Mora of the year or something, right? So her husband goes up and receives the award and smiles to the picture. And she's like cowered in a corner somewhere, right? Meaning is that that's a hashkafa issue. Or she gets up and she speaks and she, you know, she's being honored for being a teacher or a presenter, so she can present. Right? To what extent are we concerned about the tznius issue of getting up and saying something in front of a group of men? It's explicit in Shulchan Aruch that anyone who's gone through some sort of danger, and Shulchan Aruch does not say men but not women, anybody who's gone through some sort of danger, and we assume la halacha that childbirth is inherently dangerous, is supposed to bench goma. We assume la halacha that for 3 days after childbirth, a woman is considered cholesh yesh b'sakana. For 72 hours, she's not allowed to fast on Yom Kippur. 72 hours, if she wants to take a hot shower on Shabbos, she can take a hot shower on Shabbos if she feels that she needs it. Rav Shechter holds differently. Okay, we'll put that out there. He says, I don't know, if within 72 hours the woman is like on the treadmill at the gym, you know, she's doing Pilates or something, like, you know, nowadays it's hard to, I don't think he said that, but it's hard to imagine that that's called Cholesh Yesh B'Sakana. It used to be that it would knock her out for 3 months. So for the first 3 days it was really touch and go whether she was going to survive. Thank God we very rarely have such harrowing birthing stories like that. But it would seem that a postpartum woman should bench Gomel. Yet, it seems to be a machlokas. In the Tshuvas Halachas Ketanos, it says maybe women should be potter because since you need a minion, kol kvud bas melech penima. And maybe they should just say Shechianu instead. In the Tshuvas Knesset HaGedola, he says some women don't say Gomel, but says that that's a mistake. They really should. They really should bench Gomel. Mishnah Berurah also quotes some don't. And again, you'll find in Achronim in both directions. Those that say yes, that they should bench Gomel, because that's the simple halacha. That's like the straightforward halacha. Those that say don't are worried about this sensitivity. So it's a halachic issue, but it's not really. It's not really a machlokas in halacha. It's really a machlokas in hashkafa. Is this part of this general sense of tznius that we try to encourage that she not bench gomel in front of a minion? Some poskim, you know, say tznius is an issue, but gomel is a chiyuv. So you satisfy that. You try to, the best you can to satisfy the tznius issue, even as you fulfill the obligation to recite the bracha. So at the Shalom Zachar, where it's mostly family around anyway, or at the end of the Shalom Zachar, when you have 10 men from, you know, her uncles and her cousins and her sons and her husband, you know, that's when she should bench Gomel. Some places, I know my shul, a woman will come to shul, and after davening, 10 men will walk next to, will walk over to right next to the mechitza, and from the other side of the mechitza, she'll bench gomel. Which is a little bit of a joke that she should have to do from the other side of the mechitza, because frankly, I mean, in my shul, after davening's out, they're all socializing afterwards, you know, oh, bench gomel from the other side of the mechitza, and then like, hey, you know, it's okay, but in shul, we try to keep a certain level of tznius. But this is again another halachic issue that's really a hashkafic issue. One more societal thing, and with this we'll close, and maybe we'll get to issues of Torah and Chazal on Monday if you want to. But one more societal issue that's a hashkafic issue that also leads to machlokas and halacha are smartphones mutter, right? So this is a hashkafic issue primarily. But it has major ramifications. La halacha, they publicized the pesach from Steinman years ago that someone who has a smartphone is pasul eidos, which means that, you know how you have friends who are married, you don't really, because they had eidim at their wedding who likely had smartphones, right? Who are the eidim at your wedding?
Justin Weiner and Amram Kresten.
I think they both have smartphones.
They do.
Yeah. So, right. So don't tell your wife. But if you hold like that psak, then you're not married. So that's a pretty significant, you know, nafkamina la halacha. If you mamish hold that someone is pasul la edus, another nafkamina la halacha. If you hold that it's mamish chetzah shalisur, is do you do hashavas aveda if you find a smartphone? Right. We once discussed, do you do hashavas aveda on a pack of cigarettes? If you find a pack of cigarettes, is there a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? Do you say no? It's a chefza shel iser, and therefore you don't do Hashavas Aveda on it. I asked for Zilberstein, he said, no, it's not really a chefza shel iser, because a person only smokes one cigarette, won't hurt him. And maybe the person was going to take that pack and divide up one cigarette for each person that he knows and never going to smoke again. Yeah, maybe. You know, or maybe not. So do you have a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? So this is a major. A major discussion in Poskim, but again, it's also based on what your hashkafa is. Okay, maybe on Monday, again, if you want, we'll do the science and Chazal stuff, and if you don't want, we'll have to pick something else to do. But have a great day, everybody. I just have to leave a little early.